An abandoned soul is preserved by God by means which seem more likely to destroy it. There is a time when God desires to animate the whole of the soul and bring it to perfection secretly and by unknown ways. It is then that a soul's own ideas, intuitions, work, investigations, and inferences become sources of delusion. After several experiences of the folly into which it is led by its efforts to guide itself, the soul recognizes how helpless it is and discovers that God has so hidden and entangled all the channels through which his love flows that it has to find life in God himself. So, convinced of its own nothingness, and certain, too, that all it can derive from itself is harmful, it abandons itself to God so that it can have only him and receive all things through him. It is then that God becomes the source of its life, not because of anything it has thought about or through any illumination, for all this is no longer anything but a source of illusion. The soul's new attitude comes through the reality and the efforts of God's grace, hidden and disguised though it is. The soul knows nothing of God's operations, yet it receives from them all their efficacy through countless events which it believes will destroy it. There is nothing we can do about this ignorance. We must just put up with it. But it is within this ignorance that God gives himself and all other things. The soul is blind, or like a sick person who finds all his medicines unpleasant, but never realizes the good they are doing him. He often thinks they will kill him. And the weakness and various relapses which follow his taking of them seem to justify his fears. But although he appears to be near death, he regains his health because he takes the medicine on his doctor's word. Of course, there are really ill people who have to stay in bed and be treated by their doctors, but the debility and weakness which self-abandoned souls experience are quite different. They are not real illnesses, and they should ignore them. It is God who makes them feel like this, and he does it so that they are thrown back on their faith and abandon themselves to him completely. It is the only remedy. These souls should carry on cheerfully along the road, ignoring all the suffering that God sends them, and using their bodies like a hired horse which is driven until it collapses. This is far better than pampering ourselves and weakening our spiritual energy. This energy can surprisingly fortify a feeble body, and a single year spent with nobility and generosity is worth more than 100 past in worrying about trifles. We should try always to carry ourselves with the air of a child blessed by God's grace and his goodwill. What on earth have we to fear if we follow him? As his children, led and upheld by him, our whole attitude should be one of fearlessness. The terrors we meet on our journey are really nothing. They are sent only so that our lives may be made more splendid by our overcoming them. God involves us in every kind of trouble, and ordinary human common sense, seeing no way out of it, realizes all its weakness and shortcomings and feels completely baffled. It is at this moment that God appears in all his glory to those who belong wholly to him and disentangles them from all their troubles far more easily than novelists working away in the peace of their rooms extricate their heroes from all the dangers and bring them to a happy and successful end. with far greater skill, and most happily does God lead them through deadly perils, monstrous happenings, through hell itself, and its demons and all their snares. He sweeps these souls up to heaven and transforms them into the heroes of stories far stranger and more lovely than any invented by the stunted imaginings of men. So, my soul, plunge ahead, sweeping through all the monster-plagued dangers ahead, knowing that you are guided and sustained by the mighty, yet invisible hand of God. Let us carry on to the end, without the slightest tremor of fear, but full of peace and joy, with everything that befalls us becoming the occasion for fresh triumphs. We march under God's banner to fight and to conquer. He went from victory to victory. Every step we take under His command is a victory. God has His pen and an open book before Him, and in this book He writes a blessed story which will end only when the world ends, for it is an account of God's dealings with men and women. If we want to have a place in the story, we must ensure that we link all we do and suffer with God's will. I most solemnly assure you that all your actions and sufferings are not meant to destroy you. They serve to help to fulfill this holy book of God, which grows every day.